weekend. Now, if you've got a Bible, I'm going to ask you to join with me in turning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And as you do that, would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we now come to this text and really see the reality that for those of us who are followers of Christ, we've been drawn up into something bigger than ourselves. I pray that we'd be open to that truth. We'd be open to the reality that you have called us into mission. And I pray over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be open to kind of wrestling with that and attentive to ways in which you're giving us opportunities even now to move into the lives of others. So with that in mind, may we listen to what you desire to speak to us through this text this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this week, I got to hang out with a group of other pastors for a couple of days. It's one of the highlights of my year. And I was in one of these meetings, and I always go into these meetings with a notepad because I love to take notes and ideas. And so I'll typically come out of these meetings with several pages of notes. So I went into this meeting, I got my notepad out, and one of my colleagues sat by me. But as he sat down, he pulled out a brand new laptop computer. And it's Microsoft's new Surface Book, if you're familiar with that, which is both a laptop and a tablet, and he flipped it around because as we were talking, he was like me, certain meetings you just don't want to use a keyboard. For some reason, I enjoy taking notes in longhand, and so he flipped it over to the tablet, and so we talked a little bit about that. And at the break of that first session, he was just telling me some of the features of this laptop-tablet combination. And the interesting thing was when we came back and we continued this group conversation, I found myself, I wasn't even paying attention to the conversation. I was watching him take notes on, that is really, and you can highlight, oh my goodness, that is great. And I walked out of that meeting thinking, when it's time for me to replace my laptop, I think I know what I want. That turned out to be a very expensive conversation. But I tell you that story from my life experience this week just to show you and highlight to you the reality that in so many different ways our lives are influenced by other people, right? I mean, that was a moment. I hadn't gone into that meeting thinking about technology or maybe the next step and the technology that I use, but in light of my friend and his experience, I'm now thinking in a particular way. And if you reflect a moment on your life, I think it's easy for us in different ways to acknowledge manners in which our lives have been influenced by other people. I was talking with some people this week about this, and one of the examples they brought up was just the whole issue of speech, how we pick up certain terms, ways of talking and communicating from the people around us. I mean, think about even the decisions that you have made recently and perhaps ways in which people have influenced those decisions. Maybe you're making plans for what you're going to do this vacation this summer, and some of your thinking has been influenced by the experience of others. Maybe just in terms of how you use media and a new band you've added to your playlist. You got the recommendation from someone else who has a similar taste in music, and because of their suggestion, there's a new band that's now part of your repertoire. Maybe a major purchase or a restaurant recommendation. In so many different choices and decisions, we are influenced by the people around us. And I think beyond that, beyond just things like what kind of laptop you're going to buy next time, each of us have had people who have influenced us very deeply, both positively and negatively. Parents, members of our families, teachers, friends, coworkers, fellow students. In fact, I would just ask you to think for a moment, who are the people influencing you right now? Because each of our lives, there are people that in different ways influence us on a variety of topics and issues. Now, as we think about this, a kind of a visual aid that I like to use in thinking about influence is the Jenga game, right? I'm sure you're familiar with this. And, of course, the deal about this game is this. What? You go around and you pull out blocks, Pardon me while I cheat. And, right, you pull out blocks and then you stack them. And, of course, the goal is to not be the person who brings the tower down. But, of course, the complexity of this game is just evidenced by what I did, is the fact that the blocks are interconnected, right? The blocks are related. The blocks are dependent on one another. And I think this is a very powerful visual aid, because whether you realize it or not, and you may have never thought in these terms, but the truth is your life, my life, is like one of these blocks. Because just as these blocks are interdependent, they're connected, they're touching, they're related to one another. So the story of your life, the story of my life, includes those kinds of experiences. We are interconnected just like this game. And this leads me to two observations about influence. And the first is this: my life is a story of influence. Your life is the story of influence. Obviously, you know, most of us are Americans, and I think with us comes that cultural bias that we are independent, we're autonomous, we're responsible, and kind of we have control over our own lives. And yet, even in the midst of that, the truth is that your life includes the influence of other people. If you take time to review the storyline of your life at different places, you're going to see the influence of others. I mean, you know, I was thinking about just in my own life this week, things like how I handle money, my approach to marriage and parenting and education. As I think through all those issues and what those issues have looked like in my life, I see the influence of other people. And if you look carefully, you can even see ways in which others have influenced your understanding of God, Christianity, spirituality. In fact, some of you are here this morning because somebody else has invited you. And if that's the case, we're glad to welcome you this morning. So one observation about influence is my life is a story of influence. But that leads to something else that we also need to acknowledge, and that is this: my life comes with opportunities for influence. And this is where we get stuck, I think, some of us. Because when we think about influence, we think that's something other people have. Right? I mean, you think about if you're in school and you think about school experience. Well, influence is what the popular kids have or the athletes have. If you're in the marketplace, well, influence is what the business leaders have, the owners of my company, the people in upper management. When you think about church or community, you say, well, that's what leaders have. And you don't see your life in terms of influence. But remember the game, right? Remember the blocks. And the truth is that even as your life story includes the influence of others, because of the ways in which we're connected, you have the opportunity to be a part of other people's story. You have the opportunity for influence. Now, Just wrestle with that for a moment. Just let that sink in, that you have an opportunity for influence. With that in mind, let's now come to this story in Luke chapter 10. Follow along as I read the first couple of verses. Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Now, as we come to this text, let me just remind you that we're in this series entitled Live, Love, Lead. If you're new, what we're talking about in this series is what it means to follow Jesus Christ. What does that lifestyle of a disciple look like? And as a church community, we've kind of answered that question along these lines, that a disciple is someone who lives with Jesus, loves like Jesus, and leads others to do the same. And this is really kind of the journey that we're seeking to build into the lives of the people that are a part of our church. In fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you to take a step and explore joining others in a group environment on this journey of living, loving, and leading. In fact, as you came in, there was a brochure that you received just that gives you a little bit of explanation about what those groups can look like. So we're defining disciple in terms of living, loving, and leading. And we've talked about what it means to live with Jesus, the fact that if you're a follower of Christ, you've been brought into relationship with him. Remember, Jesus uses that amazing imagery of the vine and the branches, that he is the vine, we are the branches. And so there's this interconnectedness, and we're invited to continue in this relationship and build into this relationship. And as that happens, it then is clear that relationship with Christ is to overflow into our relationships with others so that we love like Jesus. And as we have seen already, Jesus says this is to be a defining mark of his followers, the way they engage people in terms of relationships. But as that happens, as we live with Jesus, as we love like Jesus and kind of seek to live out his character and our roles and responsibilities, it is also true that God gives us specific opportunities to help other people do the same. God gives us specific opportunities to help some people understand, you know, what exactly is Christianity? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And to engage that as they see our lives, as we converse. So we're given opportunities at different points to help people understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. And furthermore, we're given opportunities to help other people take next steps in following Jesus. Other followers, through encouragement, through just sharing life together, to being a part of each other's lives. And as we do that, we become part of their story as well. So whether you realize it or not, yours is a story of influence. And within that, if you're a follower of Christ, he's giving you specific opportunities to build into the lives of others. Now, to show you just an example of that, let's now come to this text. So we see in this moment Jesus sending out 72 individuals on mission. Now, here's what's really fascinating about this passage. When you read the Gospels, when you read the story of Jesus, when you think about disciples, usually, right, we think about the 12. We think about guys like Matthew and Peter and John, guys that are in so many different stories in the Gospels. But we come to Luke chapter 10, and almost out of nowhere, it seems, we see reference to these 72 people that Jesus sends out on mission. And notice in verse 1, it's he appointed 72 others. That term implies a contrast, and the contrast is with the 12. Now, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 9, in fact, turn, just flip in your Bibles or however you're reading the text, just flip back to the beginning of chapter 9, you'll see it. The beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12. Now, that doesn't surprise us, but now we get to the beginning of chapter 10, and here are these 72 other followers of Christ, unnamed, undeclared, everyday, ordinary believers, and now they are sent out on mission just like the 12 were sent out at the beginning of chapter 9. Now, here's one of the reasons why this is so important to see. If we did not have chapter 10, it would be easy to read chapter 11 and say, look, there Jesus is sending out the leaders of the Christian movement, his early disciples. And that's what Christianity is supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like all these leaders, you know, proclaiming the gospel, and then other people become followers and they're new leaders, and it's all about what the leaders do. And if we only had chapter 9, it would be easier to say, look, Christianity, the work of the church, the work of the good news is all about what the leaders do. George, you know, we're glad we got a church staff, and this is what we pay you guys to do. This is what we hire you to do, and et cetera, et cetera. But with chapter 10, we're not left with that option. Because in chapter 10, we see Jesus sending out a group of otherwise unknown followers, not part of his leadership core, but nonetheless people who are now expected to be part of the mission. They're sent out to proclaim the message of Christ. And I think as he sends these other people out, we really shouldn't be surprised by this. Because here's the deal. When you think about the storyline of the Bible, right? When you think about what you've read, if you've worked through the Bible, of God's dealing with different people and different groups of people at different moments in time. One of the things you will observe is this: when God calls people in, he also sends them out, right? I mean, think about Abraham, right? When, you know, a very significant person in the storyline of what God is doing. Abraham is called and God engages him in relationship. He's drawn to God in a radical new way. But even as God calls him into relationship and says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, it doesn't stop there, because immediately he sends him out. Because Abraham, this isn't just about you. Ultimately, Abraham, I want to bless the world through you. And when you look at how God operates, you will see this pattern over and over again in Scripture. God calls people in, but then in doing so, he also sends them out. And now we come to these very ordinary, everyday followers of Jesus who have been somehow drawn into this movement. We don't know who they are. We don't know anything about their background. They weren't the leaders of the movement. Maybe they were kind of, you know, they've been very active in Judaism or whatever, but now they've been drawn to Jesus. They've been drawn into relationship with him. But now, even as they've been drawn near, they are also being sent out. And that's what this looks like. And if you are a follower of Christ, this is what your life is intended to look like as well, right? We are drawn into relationship with Christ through the work that he did on Easter. I mean, we're about to celebrate that. We are drawn into relationship through the good news of the gospel, the reality of Christ's death on our behalf that now makes it possible for us to experience forgiveness in new life. We are drawn in through his work. But even as we are drawn in, we are ultimately also sent out. So even as we talked about living with Jesus, right, and building into that relationship, it's never intended to be just internally focused about me, about the church. It always moves us out. That's why we talk about not simply living with Jesus, but loving like Jesus and leading others to do the same. Because the truth is, as he brings us in, as he draws us into relationship, he also sends us out. So if you're a follower of Christ, this is true of you. You have been called into relationship, radical relationship. But you aren't simply called in, you are also sent out. Now just let that sink in for a moment. I mean, let's be honest, I think for many of us, maybe particularly for those of us who are guys, but for many of us, when we think about our identity, who we are, so much of that seems to revolve around what we do, whatever the title is, whatever your roles or responsibilities are, right? So that when you meet someone new and they ask you to tell them about yourself or they ask what you do, that's where you go. That's central to your identity. But for a moment, just bracket that and think simply in these terms. If I am a follower of Jesus, I am sent. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are sent. Now, I realize for some of us that it's hard for us to get our head around that, because so often in church circles, when we think about people being sent, right, we think about missionaries going overseas. But this text doesn't leave us that option to simply think in those terms, because if you are a follower of Jesus, you are sent. You're sent to your family, sent to your school, sent to your workplace, sent to your neighborhood. You're sent. Sent as a follower of Christ to live out the message of Jesus, the good news, the gospel, in word and deed. So the truth is, even as we live with Jesus and love like Jesus, he's going to give us opportunities to help and encourage others to do the same. I'll just give you one example. It's always intriguing to me the the opening prayer that the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's gone through some challenging experiences, and in the opening prayer of that book, it's a blessing where he blesses God for the comfort that he has experienced in his own life. But this is what he says. It's an interesting turn of a phrase. He blesses God for the comfort with the understanding that that comfort which is at work in his life is now also intended to be at work in the lives of other people. And I think the interesting insight and clue that Paul gives us here is that as we live with Jesus, right, as God is at work in our lives, as that relationship grows, as we spend time with him, over time there are going to be things that take place in our lives, things that we learn that we will be given the opportunity to share with others. See, one of the ways that we really lead others to do the same is simply inviting other people into our story. As we get to know each other, to see what, you know, what's going on in my life, and to see kind of what that relationship with God looks like at times, and what I'm learning and the experiences that I've had, because what God will use is I will come to understand that the grace, the work that has been at work in my life was never intended just for me. But like Paul, God will give me opportunities to, if I'm aware of it and sensitive to it, to build into the lives of other people. I'll just give you one example. I think one of the most traumatic experiences in my life was a broken relationship that occurred in my 20s. Some of you have heard me mention this before. And I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't handle it particularly well. It sent me into a deep depression. And those were some really difficult months for me. But now as I look back, I just see the reality of God's work and God's faithfulness, even in the midst of a very hard and painful and vulnerable situation. Now, as I look back on that, here's what I didn't expect. I never expected going through that God would continue to use that experience over and over in the lives of other people. But because what I've discovered over the last 25 plus years since that happened was, in experiences too numerable to count, God has given me the opportunity just in engaging other people, maybe who are in dating relationships or who've gone through broken relationships and kind of working through the pain and the hurt and feelings of betrayal or all of the, and working in those moments, God has given me opportunities just to share my own story. And God has given me opportunities just to say, you know, this was really hard, but let me tell you how I saw God work. Let me tell you the signs of God's faithfulness that I didn't fully understand until years later. And see, the reality is one of the ways in which God moves us into the lives of other people is by taking what he's been doing in our life and giving you opportunities to share as you invite others in. Now, next week, we're going to talk more specifically about what it looks like really to engage the opportunities God gives us. But what I want to do this morning is just highlight one opportunity that is in front of you right now. Because very soon we're going to start our next offering of the Alpha course. If you're unfamiliar with Alpha, Alpha is a 10-session experience. And for us, it's going to start on March 17th. And it's an evening that includes a meal, there's a video and discussion, but the focus of Alpha is really just big questions that people have about life and Christianity. And it's an opportunity to engage those questions in a safe, kind of non-threatening environment. So if you're interested in knowing more about Christianity, if you're exploring it, let me invite you to that. If you are thinking about someone, maybe even as we talk this morning, that you would like to invite, I want you to be aware of that. To just give you a little bit more about Alpha, let me let you hear one person's story.
I knew that there was a God, but I didn't feel that he was really helping in any way. I was at a point in my life that was so incredibly hopeless. I was trying to figure out life and raise a child and figure out my future and just endless questions and problems and everything that I was just fighting for and trying to do on my own. Things were slowly starting to get resolved, and someone invited me on Alpha. I was just like, okay, I'll try it out. I was expecting just everything about church that I didn't like, and I was pleasantly surprised because there were other people that seemed to be apprehensive like I was. No one ever judged. No one ever gave me a look like, what are you doing here at church if, you know, you have a child out of wedlock? Never. In fact, I was treated with more dignity, respect, and love than I was used to anywhere else in my life. My friend, who was helping lead Alpha, was just like, hey, do you want to come to church on Sunday? And I was like, sure, why not? So she met me at church, and we sat, and it was a whole different experience than I had ever felt. Like, I understood what church was about, a community, and enjoying the experience together with people that you love. I've just been on this incredible journey where I'm just finding God's grace and provision as I go. I have the ability to be present in other people's lives and to care for other people when I didn't feel like I had anything to give before. My name's Marianne, and I'm the mother of the world's best, cutest, funniest, almost 5-year-old.
So again, that Alpha course is going to start on March 17th. If you would like, we've got cards that you can use just as an invitation card. You can find more information at the Beyond the Walls kiosk in the green lobby as you leave. But I would encourage you, even as we're thinking about, you know, the opportunities God gives us, perhaps even now, I mean, even as we've been talking, there's someone that's just come to mind, you know, I bet they would be open to attending Alpha. Or let me just explore that with them and see where the conversation takes. So that's coming up on March 17th. Also, let me just ask you to be in prayer tomorrow at 2:45, because in addition to this course that is going to start here on March 17th, we've actually got a group of students at Lower Dolphin High School that are starting an Alpha course, which they are going to be leading for other students. And that course is actually, isn't that cool? Yeah. So let me ask you to be in prayer for that. That's going to start right after school tomorrow at 2:45. So here's what we're seeing from this text. Whether we realize it or not, we're on mission. Right? We are sent. That's part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But I think this text also shows us that there can be complications along the way. And let me just show two of them to you very quickly. Notice the conversations Jesus has that set up the sending out of the 72. Look at verse 57 and following of chapter 9, right? Let's just kind of go back up for a moment to the previous section. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my Father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Interestingly, I think as Luke puts the story of Jesus together, right, he shows us this amazing moment where all of these people are sent out, and he shows us that we are on mission. But right before that, he also shows us we need to understand this can get complicated. And as you see these different people interact with Jesus, I think we see two complications. First of all, there's the complication, maybe you would say, of coming too fast, right? There's this guy who comes to Jesus and he says, look, whatever you do, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm going to go for it. Woohoo, I'm in all the way. And I think what Jesus does in his response is in essence say, look, that's great, but I want you to take a step back and understand there can be a cost involved. And I think whenever we talk about the opportunities that God gives us for influence, we need to understand that following Jesus comes with a cost. When we seek to move into the lives of other people, it can be messy. As those high school students have been inviting other students to be a part of Alpha, I'm sure they've gotten a range of responses, and some of them weren't good. as we seek to, you know, be intentional in walking through life with the people that God brings our way, sometimes it gets messy. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it feels like we are over our head. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it's like, what have I gotten myself into? I don't know how to deal with this. And we need to understand that one of the complications that we can face in this journey is not realizing it will come with a cost. But secondly, even as this one guy, I think he comes too quickly. There are two other guys that come too slowly, right? One comes and he says, yes, I'll follow you. But first of all, I need to bury my dad. And of course, at first glance, Jesus' response seems to be very callous, doesn't it? Let the dead bury their own dead. Quite possibly, there's a cultural allusion here to the fact that for many, that kind of the burial procedure was a body would be often buried in a cave so that the bones are, so that the body would decompose, and then once you're down to bones, the bones would themselves be reburied, perhaps in a family tomb or in a bone box, sometimes referred to as an ossuary. So it's quite possible that this guy coming to Jesus, when he talks about, you know, I need to bury my dad first, is actually talking about a very lengthy process, a very lengthy period of time. And what Jesus is showing us in these latter two interactions as these people talk about family and the importance of family, Jesus is showing us that we have to be careful. Otherwise, we're going to be distracted by life and not take advantage of the opportunities that God is putting in our place and putting in our sphere of influence. You see, Jesus lived at a time that really was very family-centered. And you know, your family was all important, and what your family thought about you was all important. And Jesus is saying, look, you need to understand, I need to be preeminent in your life. And if I'm not preeminent, then other things will always get in the way. If I'm not preeminent, there will always be distractions. There will always be other things to do. And if I'm not preeminent, you will miss out on the opportunities that I am placing in your life to build into the lives of other people. So I think for some of us, right, for some of us maybe who tend to kind of just go for it and always engage whatever comes our way, we need to hear Jesus' message that understand it's going to come with complications, and we don't need to be surprised by that. For others of us that maybe easily get distracted or we allow other things to get in the way, Jesus wants us to see, look, don't allow that to happen. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on the opportunities that I'm putting in your life as my disciple. So notice what we're seeing in this text. On the one hand, I think it's very clear, and Luke is very intentional in communicating this, that if you are a follower of Christ, you are sent, right? And God will give you opportunities to build into the lives of other people. On the other hand, Luke is also honest with us that there's some complications along the way. We can get distracted, or we can be surprised by kind of how complicated this is. So we need to be aware of those realities as well. And I realize in bringing those together, maybe at this point, for you, there's a certain sense of fear, or maybe it's guilt. I mean, nothing you've heard this morning for many of you is new. It's just, oh my goodness, I know that. Yeah, God's given me opportunities to kind of share my faith or move into the lives of other people and encouragement and just letting, you know, other people see what I'm learning and what God's doing in my life. And it's scary. I don't always know how. I don't always know what it looks like. And so for some of us at this moment, you're feeling a certain sense of angst or fear or even kind of how-to questions, and as I said, we'll talk a little more in detail about that next week. But if that's where you're at, can I just bring our conversation right back to where all of this needs to begin? It's interesting when you read the rest of Luke chapter 10, right? Jesus sends these 72 ordinary, everyday followers of Christ. We don't even know their names. He sends them out with authority to be part of his mission. And finally, they come back. And they're celebrating. I mean, look at the amazing things we were able to do and exercise God's power. And in the midst of their, you know, kind of post-game high fives, Jesus says, look, don't get so caught up in this that you lose sight of something more important. He says, don't rejoice just in what you've just experienced. He said, rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You see, even as we talk about being mindful of the reality that God gives us opportunities to influence other people. And even in the course of the life of our church, as we seek to encourage and equip you to do that more and more, we can never, never lose sight of where all of this is to begin. It always begins by the fact that Christ has pursued us, right? It always begins with the truth that he has brought us into relationship with himself through the work of the gospel. And so in light of what he has already done, we're now part of something bigger than ourselves. And as we live in response to him, as we seek to develop and grow that relationship, he will give us opportunities to live it out in the lives of others. So, with that in mind, let me just kind of leave you with this last question to reflect on. You can even do that in the reflection room if you'd like to do that. In light of all that we've talked about, how are you influencing those around you? Right now, how are you influencing those around you? Now, as we continue in worship, I'm going to ask our ushers to prepare to receive the offering. Our worship team will come back up and continue to lead us in a moment. But as they do that, would you join us in prayer? Gracious God, this morning we've looked at this really intriguing passage in Luke's gospel. It's this story of these 72 people. As I said, we don't really know who they are. We don't know their names. They're just everyday, ordinary followers of Jesus. And yet, in the midst of that, they are drawn into his mission. Because this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I pray, Father, even as we see that in this story, we would understand that this is to be true of our lives as well. Through the work of Christ, we have been brought into this bigger story where we are now people who are sent. Father, would you just build that truth into our lives in new and deeper ways to help us see the reality that even as we live with you and seek to love others in light of what you're doing, that in the midst of that, you're going to give us specific opportunities to build into those around us. Make us mindful of that opportunities. And Father, may we move into them in light of your grace. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.